Today is the second day of one of the great Christian festivals. In this country, we are not much given to the celebration in every sense of the word, of festivals. It is not so, on the whole, in Roman Catholic countries. It is not so in Hindu, in India, where Hinduism prevails. It is not so in Islam. It is not so in the other great religions. And we're the poorer for it. But it is part of the new consciousness, the new spiritual consciousness that has been rising so apparently during the past 10, 15 years, that festivals are coming into their own again. Not necessarily the old festivals, but new festivals, and yet not new, are coming into the consciousness of the West. But I want this morning to look at the significance of festival, particularly in relation to Whitsuntide or Pentecost. Festival has two main significances. First of all, a festival can anchor, or does indeed anchor, that which it celebrates and commemorates in history. And you can overdo that. My personal feeling is that we very much overdo Christmas in that respect. But on the other hand, it is healthy, it is balanced to anchor festivals in history. The second significance, and it isn't so easy to define, is the continuing development of the significance of a particular festival in the consciousness of evolving man. A festival is very much more than a commemoration of a past event. That which a particular festival, that energy which a particular festival declares, is more available, can we put it that way, at the time of festival. Because there is a focusing of vast numbers of people on the reality that that particular festival is speaking of. For example, at Eastertide, there is resurrection power abroad. And this is not an emotional thing, not primarily at all. Awareness of it may manifest on the emotional level, but awareness of resurrection energy is something quite different than an emotional experience. It is, or can contribute to, a raising of consciousness and a penetrating into the mystery that the festival is all about. Now, what about Whitsun? Well, it's very easy to simply isolate it as a unique historical event and speculate around it, that wonderful passage in the Acts of the Apostles, or it is possible to trivialize it into an individualistic emotional experience and to minimize the cosmic significance in the evolution of man of what Whitsuntide is all about, to trivialize it into an individualistic emotional experience, psycho-emotional experience, and call it a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying there may not be such a thing as a baptism of the Holy Spirit, but this, to relate the festival, the significance of it, to that, is to minimize its tremendous import in the continuing, evolving consciousness of man. Two thoughts in connection with the significance of Whitsuntide. Man is seen as the crown of creation. Man is seen as the crown of creation. It is significant that man, of the whole created animal kingdom, is the only one who walks with his head high. It can be significant, and should indeed be theologically significant, and significant in terms of spiritual awareness, that when we kneel at the rail to receive Holy Communion, the hands on the whole are laid on the crown of the head. We come to kneel in the presence of God, not to cringe. We lift up our heads. And it can be a false sense of guilt that makes us go right down on the ground. We are here to receive. We are vessels, and we receive not only symbolically, but effectively through the crown of the head. We won't go into the metaphysics of this morning, but it is much more than symbolism when we hold up our heads. Man is the crown of creation. And I want just to look at a chapter in the Bible so often misquoted, misread, and misunderstood. The second chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, where the writer, who forgets where he's quoting from, says it has been testified somewhere. Well, if he'd looked up in the Old Testament, he would have found it was Psalm 8. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou carest for him? Thou didst make him for a little while lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to man, he left nothing outside his control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see Jesus. Now, it's very easy to take that out of this, that little phrase, we see Jesus, devotionalize it, as has been done in thousands of sermons, and miss the significance of this tremendous passage about man, the place of man in the created order. What is to happen to man? We see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor. Jesus, the prototype. We do not yet see this in universal man. It has not yet emerged, but the process is going on, and we can see Jesus, the great forerunner, the great pioneer, the one who is there, the prototype of what man is destined to be, the glory of man. And it's in a true understanding of the glory of man that we glorify God. It is God in us, Christ in us. And this is what Whitson can speak to us about. Man, who is the crown of creation and who in Christ is moving toward fulfillment. And this is coming into the consciousness of man at this particular time in history. And secondly, man has a unique responsibility in creation. Now I'm going to do here what I did a week or two ago, read rapidly a well-known passage of scripture. You see, we're so conditioned by translations, by the way we've been indoctrinated from childhood, and so many ways, we can only hear the scripture in a particular way. If we're to be in touch with the dynamic behind the words, it's necessary sometimes to read rapidly. And you know, the old Anglo-Catholic priests who went through the services at top speed, some of them knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. To labour every word in the Eucharist or in any other part of liturgy can be totally misleading. Now, I'm going to read from Colossians, this breathtaking passage, Colossians chapter 2, where you can feel something of the great movement of history, the movement in Christ as man moves toward his crowning fulfillment. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food, drink, or with regard to festivals, or new moons, or Sabbath. These are only a shadow of what is to come. The substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement, worship of angels, taking his stand on visions, watch it, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the universe, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting rigor of devotion, self-abasement, severity to the body, but they are of no value in checking one's progress. I've taken from a different version of the scriptures there. But never mind the individual words. If you could read that and get behind the movement, the tremendous power, Christ moving forward in the whole created order. And it is the glory of man or persons that we are all part of this. Where do I fit in? What are the practicalities of this today? Every one of us, and you've heard me say this before, every one of us has something to manifest, some aspect to manifest of this emerging Christ in the new consciousness. And it's very much more than taking part in the service and shaking hands with someone and taking up the collection and doing the intercession, all very right and proper in its place. What is it that's seeking to emerge in you at present and in me? What is the butterfly seeking to come from the chrysalis, to speak to society as it is today. We can't all be involved in all world problems, but have mental breakdowns if we try to do that. But we can find out what the Christ who is emerging today is seeking to manifest through each one of us. Our bodies may be restricted, our minds may be restricted, but he can emerge through the heart very powerfully in our day.